hymnal to song number 288. We begin our Sunday evening service by singing song number 288. I am tall, we hear song 288. Sing it out. I am tall, we hear song number
great to see everybody back out this evening. If you'd like a bulletin, just go ahead and slip up your hand. One will be brought to you. And as always, our service times are there in the upper left-hand side. We'll be back this Thursday as we're going through the book of Genesis. We'll be in the infamous chapter 19. And of course, I say that jokingly. It's not so infamous after all. We love every chapter in God's Word. That's why we preach every chapter of it unashamedly. So come on back on Thursday for that. Also, we have the salvations, the baptisms, as well as the attendance numbers and the offerings. Again, happy birthday to all the mothers who are celebrating on Mother's Day. And don't forget to continue to pray for the expectant ladies in our church, both here and up in Tempe. On the back, there's the announcement about the Soul Winning Marathon where we're going to be. It's up on the Navajo Reservation, but it's going to be, the recreation will be at the Grand Canyon. So again, I've talked about this at length already. Sign-up sheet's back there. If you know you're going to be able to make it, please do let us know. Don't forget, this Wednesday, Pastor Bruce Mejia will be up in Tempe preaching at 7 p.m. Another brother, Adam, has said he's going to be driving the church van up there. So if anyone wants to hop in with him and go take that in, we'll see you up there. Me and my family will be up there as well. Also, below that, we have the annual announcement about the annual Mega Conference, which is taking place later in the summer. So several weeks there where you can make it up there every Sunday and Wednesday. Hopefully that doesn't clear us out too much down here on Sundays, but by all means, as long as you're in church, you know, taking in the Word of God, praise the Lord for that. But that'll be taking place, so we'll have more announcements about the specific preachers that'll be coming through this course up in Tempe. And other than that, that's going to do it for announcements. Let's just quickly count up the soul winning, going back to, we'd be going back to Friday, if there's anything to report from Friday or from Saturday. Anyone has anything from Saturday? Or from, well, we had one on Saturday, that's right. And then Sunday, today. I know, anything outside the group? All right, we'll keep up the good work, soul, and we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into the preaching this evening.
All right, if you can open up your song books to song number 55. Chapter 12.
Verse 1 of the Bible reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man who is among you, not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man, measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us weigh on our ministry, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth, with diligence, he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute, bless and curse them, rejoice with them and do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing he shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. For there, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord. Just pray that you just fill us deep with your spirit and give us hearts to hear your word and apply it to our lives. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we'll be there in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to look at it at the beginning, but I'll tell you right away, go ahead and just bookmark Romans 12. We'll come back a little bit later in the sermon as well. But the part of this chapter that I want to look at here at this point is in verse 16. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So this is one of many places throughout Scripture where God warns us about not being conceited, or another way we could phrase that is not being wise. We don't want to be wise in our own conceits. We don't want to be proud. We don't want to be lifted up. Now, this is something I recently touched on in another sermon, I believe in a midweek, but it's something I haven't really dedicated a whole sermon to in a while, which is the topic of pride. So that's something I want to talk about tonight, because pride, you know, is a very real thing, and, it, you know, pride is one of those things that we always have to be on guard against in our lives, because it really does sneak up on us. It's something that we always have to contend with, and, you know, it's something that God takes very seriously. You know, God has some strong warnings about pride, and this is one of them. And again, it's kind of a mild rebuff here where he's telling us to not mind high things, right, but to condescend to men of low estate. Now, we don't want to be lifted up in our pride and only care about, you know, things that we believe are worth of our intellectual pursuits, or things that are, you know, only those things that are worthy of our time and attention. You know, that can be a source of pride, can it? When we think, well, you know, I'm too good to do this or to do that. You know, this person isn't worthy of my time. This ministry isn't worthy of my time. I'm more valuable than people give me credit for, right? That's a very conceited statement, right? To think that you're somehow above other people, right? To think that you have, it's beneath you, rather, to maybe, what, condescend to men of low estate, okay? You know, that's something we're commanded to do. We are to condescend to men of low estate. We should go to people who are, you know, maybe more simple in their understanding, people who are the poor of this world, people that, you know, other people would look at and say, well, there's no value there. You know, they're not to be bothered with, right? We should never think that way about people. You know, we should always be willing to go to the poor, to go to people who are of low estate, right? Whether that's, you know, financially maybe, because people are on a lower demographic, or if it's maybe even a matter of intelligence or some other factor, right? People who are not highly esteemed are, you know, they're not beneath us. You know, that's a very conceited way to think, right? Not to consider those people, right? And to think that we're somehow above them or better them in some way. We don't want to be wise in our own conceit, right? and have this idea that we are better than people. Again, keep something Romans in chapter 12. And go to Job chapter number 41. Job chapter number 41. I mean, you know, that's an example in Romans 12 in which one way in which pride can show up in our lives, right? We can start to think that we're better than somebody, you know? And honestly, sometimes, in some ways, we are going to be better than certain people at certain things. You know, that's kind of unavoidable, right? Some people are going to be better looking than other people, right? Not here. That was a joke. It's just a joke. Seeing if you're awake, okay? You are. You're deeply offended, so you're paying attention. So, right? We genuinely might be smarter than other people. We might have more education or more intellect than somebody else, right? But we don't want to be lifted up with pride about that. We might be better off financially than other people are. We might, whatever it might be, we might have some innate ability, some talent that we have, something that we can do better than other people. We should not let that become a source of pride in our lives. And this is something people have to be on guard against in their life. And we don't want to become wise in our own conceits and thinking that we're better than other people, even if in some instances we are. You know, that's kind of unavoidable. You know, a big part of humility is, you know, recognizing that sometimes some people are better at things than we are. Right? I mean, that's something, that's not a revelation to me. That's something I've made peace with. You know, people are going to be, there's better preachers out there. There's certainly, you know, people that do things better than I do. And that will always be the case, you know. And that's a very humbling thought, right? And the title of the sermon, I don't know if I gave it or not, is this: humble or humbled. Humble or humbled. Really, those are the two stations you are in life. You're either humbled or you're humble, right? And you say, well, what if you're somebody who has to be humbled? Or you are, you know, you've never, well, let me put it this way. Every person that is humble is probably somebody that has been humbled, right? But not every person who needs to be humbled is necessarily humble, right? It hasn't happened yet. You follow what I'm saying? Right? Every person who's humble, it's typically because they've been humbled, right? Someone came along and preached a sermon, or they were taken aside and spoken to, or something happened where it was very humiliating, right? You know, those words are kind of connected. Humiliation, humility, humbleness. You know, sometimes we get humbled because we end up being kind of humiliated sometimes. It's a very humbling thing to be called out for sin or to have our pride pointed out or something like that. It's a very humbling thing. The important thing is that when that happens, we accept it, right? And we just allow ourselves to be humbled people, right? And what we should strive to do is, of course, try to minimize that and just live as humble people, right? There's the saying out there, be humble or get humbled. You know, that's you're either on one of those two paths. You're either somebody who is being humble, not being wise in your own conceits. You know, you're condescending to men of low estate. You're not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. You're thinking soberly according to every man, to the measure of faith that God has given to every man. You know, you're humble. You're walking with a right heart. Or you're somebody who's on the path of pride that is on their way to being humiliated and humbled, right? Because there's nothing fun about being humbled, okay? It is humiliating to whatever degree it takes place. It's not a very fun process to have somebody come to you and point out your errors, point out your flaws, point out where maybe we've gotten puffed up or lifted up with pride. That's a humiliating, a humbling thing that we have to go through. But, you know, that's kind of the thrust of the sermon. Either be humble or be somebody that's going to get humbled, right? That's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, I'll just read to you, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, right? Humiliation. When we start to lift ourselves up with pride, you know, shame is on its heels. Why is that? Because God will humble the proud in heart, you know, and especially among his own children, right? Look, even if proud, unsaved people live their whole lives in a state of pride and conceit, eventually, one day, they will be humbled, right? Just not in this world. Every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That will happen. There will come a time when they, And not because they're being forced to do it. You know, the angels at that great white throne judgment aren't going to push them down on the ground and make them talk. They of their own accord on that day when they see the glory of God are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of the Father. Every atheist, every person, every unsaved person that's ever existed is going to confess that, right? And they can live their life in pride, but, you know, shame and humiliation and humility will come, okay? So obviously that's for the unsaved, but how much more so for God's people? You know, we as God's children, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have the sealing and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you know, we are subject more so, I believe, to being humbled when pride enters in. You know, to unto whomsoever much is given shall also much be required, right? The more you know, the more you are held accountable, okay, for what you know. So when we understand how much God hates pride, when we understand the value of humility, you know, we should understand that if we find ourselves being lifted up pride, that shame comes, right? That's what it says. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Why does shame come after pride? Because somebody comes along, God, circumstances, individuals, whatever, and, you know, and humbles you, okay? And that's done through being shamed often. But it says, with the lowly is wisdom, right? The lowly person, the humble person, has learned something. They have wisdom. They know better, right? They know, hey, I'm no better than anybody else. I'm not going to be wise in my own conceits. You know, I'm going to, you know, if we're a lowly, humble person, we have wisdom in knowing that, you know, who we really are. We think soberly about ourselves. Now, look at Job chapter 41, because there's no greater example in Scripture of pride than Satan himself, right? Satan, you know, if you wanted to say one of his, what was his defining characteristic, or is his defining characteristic, you know, I would say it's pride. You know, he's someone who's very lifted up with pride. I mean, how proud do you think you have to be, you know, to think that you could take on the God of heaven, right? That you could rebel against God and take your angels with you and corrupt man and somehow, you know, and this is somebody that, like, has beheld the glory of God, someone that's been in God's presence. You know, he was the anointed cherub. You know, he was known as Lucifer before he was, you know, demoted or, you know, cast out, essentially. You know, how proud do you have to be to think you could take on God, right? And to you know, undermine God and his will. You'd have to, you know, and think you're going to get away with it. You have to be a pretty proud person, okay? You know, and that's one of the traits of being a proud person is that, you know, you think you're above it all. You think that you can't be touched. You think that this doesn't apply to me. You know, that's being, wise in your own conceit. Again, right? That's a thing of, that's an attribute of pride. And you know what? Just like Satan, shame is going to come. You will be humbled. Look at Proverbs 41 in verse 15. Of course, Job 41, where he's describing Leviathan, right? Which is a beast that existed, but is also symbolic of Satan himself. Okay, it says in Job 41 verse 15, his scales are pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They're airtight, right? They are joined one to another. They stick together. They cannot be sundered, right? They can't be split. They can't be cut asunder. Upon the earth there is none his like who is made without fear. This beast, Leviathan, doesn't fear anybody. He has this protective armor. He has this coat of scales, as it were, this outer layer that is just impenetrable. He's impervious to any weapon that would be brought against him, right? That's why he's made without fear, right? He doesn't feel vulnerable because he isn't, right? There is none like him, okay? He beholdeth all things, all high things, right? He considers himself his equal to anything that is high and lifted up, right? Anything, any power that's out there. He can behold it. He can look them in the eye, okay? He is a king over all the children of pride, and he rules over all the children of pride. You know, it's kind of like when Jesus said that of Satan that he is a liar and the father of it. You know, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies, right? Well, in the same way, you know, being somebody who's lifted up with pride, you are exhibiting one of the attributes of Satan himself, right? When we lie, you know, we're patterning ourselves after Satan because he is the father of lies. In the same way, you know, using Job 41 here, when we're lifted up with pride, we are exhibiting some of the same attributes as Satan, right? Because he is a king over all the children of pride. You know, if we're a proud person, if we're lifted up, if we're high in our, if we're wise in our own conceits, you know, you are similar to Satan in that way. You know, if pride is a satanic attribute that should not have any part in our lives. Now, keep something in Job. I know you were just in Romans. Go back to Romans. We're done there. When you go back, you can stop bookmarking it. Back to Romans 12. But keep something in Job. We'll be back there towards the end there. But again, you know, the subject is pride this evening. You know, you need to be somebody who is humble. And if you're somebody who's lifted up with pride, or you become lifted up with pride, then you are somebody who is going to be humbled, okay? It's inevitable, right? Even Satan himself was humbled. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, pride goeth before destruction. You know, he said elsewhere, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride goeth, pride goes before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud, right? We should be with the lowly. We should condescend to men of low estate. We do not want to be people who are haughty and lifted up with pride, because that is going to bring destruction and shame into our lives. Thinking, you know, we're like, you know, sometimes this can enter in people's mind in the way, you know, kind of like Satan, right? He's got this coat of scales, right? He thinks he's undefeatable, right? You know, you see this especially in young men, right? Those of us who have got a little older, you know, we're feeling our age a little bit more, right? But young men often, you know, they're the ones that take a lot of chances because they think they're 6 feet tall and bulletproof. Now, I know some of you are like me, actually are 6 feet tall. So, you know, I'm not trying to pick on the tall people in here, okay? It's just a stain, all right? Just because you're 6 feet tall or more, I'm not pointing you out, all right? I didn't have to include myself in that. It's just a phrase, right? You think you're 7 feet tall and bulletproof. There, I changed it for your sake, right? You know, you see this a lot. And look, this isn't just something that's limited to obviously only young men or just men. Anybody can be guilty of this, of thinking, you know, that they're just kind of impervious to being hurt, right? And they do many foolish things, right? You know, all the motorbikes and stuff like that. To me, I mean, if you ride a motorcycle, great, as long as you're, I mean, honestly, I would like to ride one, you know, to be perfectly honest. I would like a motorcycle just to commute. Okay, I would even take a scooter at this point, right? I just don't want anyone to see me riding a scooter. But, you know, you start making that crosstown commute where you're, you know, red light to red light, you start to think about how nice it'd be to just cut through traffic and cut your commute in half, right? I could see that. But, man, you know, some of these guys, they get on these bikes and they just go out there and they take chances. Why is that? Because of pride. Because they think, no, I can control this. I'm so good on this bike. No one can touch me. In fact, I don't even need my helmet, right? And they take foolish chances. And, you know, pride goes before destruction often. You know, that's why I don't think we should tempt God and take risks and take unnecessary chances and tempt God. Because, you know, a lot of times that comes out of a heart of pride. And, you know, often that will lead to our own destruction. And at the very least, our humility, right? Or our humiliation. It's a humiliating thing when, you know, you got road rash and everyone's asking what happened and your insurance rates go up because, you know, you slammed into somebody or whatever, you know, or you're in the hospital with broken legs or something. I have to imagine that's a pretty humbling thing to have to go through, right? Where do I have you go? Romans 12, look at verse 3. It says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think," right? So obviously when it comes to this thing of humility, it's, you know, we don't want to get the wrong idea either. We all have to just go around, you know, just abasing ourselves and just, you know, trying to convince everybody that we're just worthless and that we don't have any value. You know, that's a false humility. That's a, you know, people can almost become proud of how humble they are. That's kind of ironic, but, you know, you're just like, I'm just so proud. I live such an aesthetic life. I'm, you know, that's kind of a pride in and of itself, a source of pride. But, you know, he's telling us, hey, just think soberly, right? To think, don't think more highly than you ought to think. You know, don't get lifted up with pride. You know, don't start thinking that we're something great, that, you know, we ought to be lifted up or something like that. You know, we need to think soberly, not to think more highly than we ought to think. And look, this is something that people, even in churches, can go through, right? You know, people clean up their lives and start living right, and they can actually start looking down on other people. And they'll even start looking down on other people that aren't even as wicked as they once were. And it's crazy, but it happens all the time. You see it all the time. You know, people have a checkered past. They get saved. Praise God for that. You know, that should never be thrown in their face or held over their head. You know, we all have things in our past, I'm sure, that we're ashamed of. All the kids are trying to don't worry. You don't even have to try. You know, something will happen, right? But, you know, those of us maybe that are older, got saved later on in life, you know, we can probably look back on some things that we just rather not remember, some things that we just wish had never happened, okay? And those things should never be brought up or thrown in our face. But, you know, at the same time, we need to think soberly and not start to look down on other people, right? Let our newfound righteousness and our newfound clean living become a source of pride where we start to look down on other people who aren't even sometimes as wicked as we once were. He says not to think more highly of himself, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. If you would, go to Galatians chapter number 6. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. It's such an interesting verse that in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. You know, a foolish person, you know, they just say things. It's like a rod of pride, right? The things they say are hard. The things that they say are just, you know, full of arrogancy. They're just full of conceit. They're just full of pride. It's like a rod. It almost hurts your ear. It almost hurts you to hear it, right? When you hear these things come out of that, it's kind of like how it's a rod. You're almost like, you know, you ever just like hear somebody say something, you kind of, you wince. You know, what's the word? It's cringe, right? Is that the proper use of cringe? It's very cringe, man, you know, right? These people that have a rod of pride in their mouth, you know, it's cringe. It makes you go, you're embarrassed for them, right? You know, I remember hearing somebody say this once, someone who had visited the church, and they were asking about soul winning, and I was telling them what we do, and they go, well, you know, I'd probably be a really good soul winner. You know, I'm really good at talking to people. This is a first-time visitor, had never darkened the door before, just met them. And they're just like, you know, I would probably be really good at that. And I'm just thinking, no, you wouldn't. people you talk to would probably be thinking the same thing I'm thinking right now, that you're a jerk. That you're a proud, arrogant jerk is probably what they think at the door and want nothing to do with you, right? Because people can sense that. People can pick up on that. You know, but when you hear things, and I had to, like, control my face to keep it from contorting and being like, just letting it show, right? Because it's just it's like, man, and I instantly just wanted to get away from this person. Because in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. And we hear things come out of people who are filled with pride, the things that come out of their mouth, it's just like all the bragging and just the boasting, it's cringe, man, right? And it's like, you wonder, you sit there and you say, can you not hear yourself? Do you not realize how you sound? Like, how can, you know, that's why they're foolish, because fools can't see it. That's what makes them such a fool. They can't even see their own pride. You know, pride has a very blinding effect on us. You know, we become legends in our own mind, right? That's why it says here in Galatians, if you look at verse 6, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore it, such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, that's such a powerful verse. You know, when we think that we're something when we're really nothing, and let me just go ahead and tell you, all of us are nothing. You know, and look, I'm not saying that to devalue people. I don't want to go overboard on that. You know, and just be one of these guys, these preachers, you know, like that I've heard in the past that are just like, you know, you're replaceable. God doesn't need you. It's, you know, look, God needs us. And yes, we are replaceable. I understand that. We have value. But, you know, really, if you want to just get down to it, we are just a worm and not a man, right? We are less than nothing. We really aren't anything. We're just dust, you know. That's what the Bible says, that God remembers our frame, that we are but dust. We're as the flower of the field, which riseth up and it's withered away. You know, our life is but a vapor. You know, one of the great ways to humble yourself is to dwell upon the Lord, right? That's why, you know, the king in the Old Testament Israel was commanded to write a handwritten copy of the law, you know, the five books of Moses, the Old Testament. He was to write that out and to have it with him and to read therein all the days of their life. And one of the reasons why he was commanded to do that is so that his heart would not be lifted up above his brethren. You know, if we read our Bibles and pray and think about God, you know what we're going to realize? We're nothing. You know, that it's our privilege to serve God to whatever capacity. And we should never get lifted up with pride about the manner in which we serve God or to what degree we serve God, or because at the end of the day, all of us are nothing compared to Him. No flesh should glory in His presence. Everything that we do should be done to the glory of God. What's there to be proud about? Okay? And I love how he says, if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, right, he deceiveth himself. Everybody else sees it. Everyone's like, this guy thinks he's really something, and he's nothing, right? The only person that the proud person fools is himself, right? They become that legend in their own mind. They think, man, I'm really something. Everyone else is like, no, you're really not, right? And look, and it's a humiliating thing when we have to come to that realization on our own. Or when someone else helps us with that. It can be humiliating to be humbled. That's why the message this evening is just be humble. Just be the lowly in spirit. Condescend to men of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Just go ahead. Don't mind high things. Just be a humble person. And you won't have to be humbled. You know, don't think you're something when in fact none of us are anything. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work. And then he shall rejoicing in himself alone and not another, for every man shall bear his own burdens. Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. I won't take a whole lot of time this evening. And I'm just talking about pride, because this is something, again, that the Bible, like, I'm just scratching the surface. There's so many scriptures on pride, being proud, haughty, lifted up, arrogant, conceited. I mean, this is a topic that God just hammers over and over and over in the scripture. There's so much warning on it. Why? Because we're all susceptible to it. It's something that if we are not on guard on against in our lives, it will creep in, because it's just there. It's just, pride is just always there, ready to just spring up in our lives and to lift us up and bring, you know, and cause us to suffer the consequences, the shame, the fall that comes with being lifted up with pride. Proverbs 29, look at you're going to Proverbs 18, or 8, excuse me. I'll read to you Proverbs 29, verse 23. It says, a man's pride shall bring him low. Shall bring him low. Right? So again, pride in Proverbs is just constantly associated with, shame and destruction and falling, right? And being brought low. And, you know, it's counterintuitive, right? Because a lot of times you're like, oh, you know, if someone takes pride in their work or whatever, you know, it's going to lift them up, right? Because that's what pride is. It's being lifted up. It's being puffed up. It's being haughty, right? And that's actually what ends up bringing a person low. Being somebody who minds high things and is conceited will bring you low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Look at Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Okay. Now, wisdom in the book of Proverbs is often personified as a woman, but obviously it's referring to the Lord. The Lord is wisdom. Okay. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Now, if we're going to fear God, then we're going to hate certain things. Okay. And look, it's not necessarily we're going to hate it in other people. We need to learn to hate these things in our own hearts and in our own minds and in our own mouths, because these things are in us. And if we're not on guard against it, it will show up and it will bring us low. It will lead to our fall. It will lead to our destruction. And at the very least, it will lead to humiliation, right? Because that's how you get to humility often, is through being humiliated, okay? So we don't want to go through that. So we need to learn to fear God and to hate these things. God hates these things. He said, I hate. These things do I hate, as he says at the end. Hate evil, right? And he kind of sums up what he considers evil here, at least In this passage, pride and arrogancy, right? Those are the same thing, basically. Pride and arrogancy. God's being redundant on purpose. He's trying to get across the point that he really hates pride. He hates arrogancy. He hates it when people think that they're better than somebody else, when they're lifted up, when they're haughty. God hates that. Okay? And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You know, people who just, it's like the rod of pride again, who just say things. You know, they have a very froward mouth. They have no filter. They brag, they boast. They put other people down. They have a very froward mouth. They have no filter. They have no control over their tongue. God hates that. Right? Because a lot of times, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we're proud in our heart, that's going to come out of our mouths. If we have pride and arrogancy within us, you know, that's going to show up in our speech. It's going to show up. And God hates it. Okay? It goes on and says in verse 14, counsel is mine, sound wisdom, and I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings rule and princes decree justices. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit in substance, and I will fill their treasures. You know, God is the one that has the power to bless, to lift up, and to bring low. Right? He's the one that can make kings rule and princes, and he can bring other people low. If you would, go to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. You know, obviously there are people that we would esteem highly in our lives. Like, we might look to other people and say, you know, we have a lot of respect for them, respect for the stands that they take, the life that they live. You know, we would consider their conversation the end of their faith, and we would follow their faith, right? There, you know, the Bible tells us to, you know, when it comes to certain people, you know, we should consider the end of their faith, their conversation, whose faith follow. You know, we should have examples in our lives. But what we have to understand is, like, a lot of times those people that are in those positions are often the most humble of people. You know, they should be honored, you know, because before honor is humility. You know, it's not wrong for you to, you know, people to be honored, right, when they're worthy of it. But that honor is not something we take upon ourselves. That honor is not something you can self-ascribe. Honor and respect and esteem is something that is attributed to you through having earned it. Right? And that's often bestowed upon people who have a real, genuine sense of humility. Okay? Not a contrived one, not a fake one, not a showy, false sense of display of humility, but a real sense of humility. Because a lot of times, you know, people get that confused. And they don't even know what humility even looks like. Right? But before honor is humility. You know, if we want to be honored, if we want to be somebody that is worthy of esteem, you know, then you have to be a humble person. It has to happen. Look at James chapter 4, verse 6. I know we just looked at this recently, but he said, he giveth more grace, wherefore God, he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. You know, it's not, you know, if you're proud, it's not that God's just going to like lean, well, God's just not going to bless me. No, God is going to actively resist you, right? That's why all those proverbs we looked at said, you know, talks about how before pride, a man is haughty, right? But that shame follows pride, and that, you know, pride will bring a man low. Why is that? Because God resists the proud. God's not going to let us get away with being proud people. He will humble us. So the question is tonight, do you want to be humble? Or do you want to be humbled? You know, I'm all for the first category. You know, I've been humbled. You know, I don't want to sound too proud. You know, I've had my share of humility, or humiliation rather. Okay, I've done been humbled, and it's not a fun experience. Okay, but again, you know, we have to all be on guard against this in our lives, self included. Verse 7: Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil; he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Look at verse 10. humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So who is it that, you know, you really have to work on being humble? Is God. You know, people can put on a show of spirituality, they can put on a show of humility, but God knows the truth, okay? And again, as I was saying earlier, if you want to have humility in your life, you know, the best way to get that is through prayer, Bible reading, and serving other people, and honestly having a real walk with God. That's a very humbling thing. You know, we looked at it the other night, the angels that are in the presence of God who just, you know, just cry, holy, 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 right? When we come in the presence of God, you know, the attention is not on us. You know, all of that leaves. Pride will leave us. Go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Actually, no, just go to Job 40. I'm not going to take the time to read through all of Ezekiel 28. Just go back to Job, and we'll wrap up here. But again, the warning, again, in Proverbs 18 is, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. You know, and that's what's so concerning when you see people being lifted up with pride. Because if you know your Bible and you've heard the preaching of it, you know what's coming. How many verses have we looked at where God is just like warning us about the dangers of pride, right? When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Pride goeth before destruction. The mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. A man's pride shall bring him low. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. God's just like warning us repeatedly. If we get lifted up with pride, if it creeps into our lives, it's going to be to our detriment. It's going to bring us low in one way or another. Either through just being foolish and thinking we're untouchable and taking chances, or just having a proud, arrogant, conceited attitude that looks down on others or thinks we're better than people, you know, then God might get involved too. And say, well, let me take you down a couple notches, right? Before the destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Before honor, again, is humility. That's, you know, the exact same phrase that verse 33 in chapter 15 ended with. Before honor is humility. Repeats itself again in Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before honor is humility. You know, obviously we should want to be people that are esteemed, right? That are looked upon and considered as wise, understanding people that have wisdom to impart, that can be looked at as examples and can be looked at as somebody whose faith should be followed, right? Especially, you know, if we're in leadership, you know, we need to make sure that we are exemplifying, you know, good Christian conduct, okay? But that's done by humility, okay? That honor comes, you know, that's why humility is so important, okay? You have to have humility. I had to go to Job. I'll read one more time in Proverbs 16. He says in verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's some, I mean, are you seeing how serious pride is tonight? It's such a serious sin. It's not just like, you know, there's certain, obviously all sin is wicked, and God hates a lot of things, but God doesn't call everything in the abomination, right? Not every sin is an abomination to God. I mean, abomination is like, God has a strong just loathing of this. It's not just that it's offensive. It's not that it's breaking his commandments. You know, because think about it. There's some sins that are definitely sin, but then God even makes, like, you know, stipulations, right? And even in the Old Testament. When men would multiply wives, God hated that. God said, don't do that. God told them, saying, you're not to have a multiplicity of wives. You're supposed to, one man, one woman, that's it. He said, but, you know, man being what he is, you kings, if you multiply wives, you know, you're not going to diminish, you know, the substance of the first wife. You're not going to despise your first wife because you took on a second. You're going to treat her just as well. You say, oh, is that God, you know, putting his stamp on, you know, having multiple wives? No, he's not approving polygamy, obviously. But I'm just using an example to show you that, you know, there's some things that God considers sin, but he's like, well, it's not an abomination. I mean, he doesn't want us doing it. But he even you know, like says, okay, well, since you're going to do it anyway, here's how you do it. Right? Just to make sure that, you know, people aren't treated poorly in the process of people doing things that God doesn't want them to do. You see my point? But there's some things that God looks at and sees in people and says, that's an abomination to me. Right? You know, it's like foods, right? There's certain things, you know, it's hard for me. I'm trying to think, is there anything I don't like? Yeah, I'll say black olives, but, you know, I ate black olives on a sandwich yesterday. You know, I don't like black olives, but I'll eat them. You know, if they're on the sandwich, if someone orders a pizza and says, hey, there's black olives on it, I'm like, okay. They go, black olives. You know, and pick them off and be that person. Just shut up and eat it, right? Now, if I'd been thinking when I ordered the sandwich, I said, hold the black olives, which was what I'll do next time. You know, an irony of ironies, my wife loves black olives, right? You know, opposites attract, right? If you ever want to get her a good gift, you know, get her a can of black olives. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Right? You know, but here's the thing. I don't look at black olives and go, an abomination, right? It's an abomination to me. You know, but there are probably some things that you could put on a plate and try to offer me as food that I would get disgusted over. And I would even, you know, flip the table and get mad at you and be like, what are you trying to serve me? Right? Like, you put excrement on a plate and said, hey, I'm not going to go, well, you know, I don't like it. It's not what I would have ordered. I'm going to say, that's an abomination. Get that out of my face. Right? I'm going to get mad. There's a huge difference between just, you know, not liking something or not preferring that or disliking it and then calling something an abomination, right? That's not abomination or calling something abominable. It's not a term God just throws around loosely in the Bible. So when it comes up, when you see God saying this is an abomination, like that should, you know, alarms should go off, bells should go off in our mind. Like, okay, well, let's take special note of that. But there's certain things that God really, really hates. That he calls an abomination. It's like, well, let's not be guilty of that. Obviously, let's try not to be guilty of any of these things that God, you know, calls a sin. But when he's calling it an abomination, that's when we should take special note and say, well, you know, if I'm going to be guilty of something, it's not going to be something, it's not going to be that. Because God hates that. And you say, well, what's an example of that? Pride. God hates pride so much, he calls it an abomination in his sight. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, right? And isn't it interesting, right? I'm just on a roll since Thursday. And Genesis 19 is still on the horizon. Isn't it interesting that the people who define themselves as proud, right, the pride committee out there, the Fruit Loop people, right, the alphabet group, that's one of their defining characteristics, pride. They declare their pride as Sodom, right? Now, isn't it interesting God calls that an abomination? It isn't interesting that those same people who are so proud about it commit acts that God considers an abomination, right? But you know what? If you're proud in heart, you're an abomination too. I mean, think about that. It's so easy to go, oh, these people out there. And look, they are. They're an abomination. These fags, these queers, these homos. It's an abomination. Sodomy is an abomination before God. Okay, but so is being proud in heart. Let that sink in. And when we find pride in our own lives, you know, we need to get it out. We should root out pride in our lives. We should learn to hate pride, hate arrogancy, hate conceit, because God considers it an abomination. And God will bring the proud low. Go to Job. You're in Job. Look at Job chapter 40 in verse 6. It says in verse 6, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou consider... Excuse me, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? He's saying, are you like me? Obviously no, right? He said, deck thyself now with majesty and excellency. That's a whole other page of notes. Oh, great. And array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad thy rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Right, because we started out the story... or the sermon rather, you know, talking about Leviathan, right? How he is the king over all the children of pride and how he thinks he's untouchable, right? And proud people, this is what they think. People who get lifted up with pride, they think that they're just above it all somehow. Nothing's going to get them, right? And here's the thing. Even if we, as human beings, we can't humble somebody else, if we can't convince somebody that they're proud and arrogant, God can. And God will. You know, that's why it's so scary when you see somebody being lifted up with pride. Because it's like, if they don't get the message from us, if they don't hear it from the Word of God, it's like, well, what's God going to do? Because there's nobody that's above that, above God. They can't cast abroad their rage. They don't have an arm like God. And, you know, God is humbling Job and his friends here. He's showing up in a whirlwind. He's saying, look, you're nothing like me. And he's saying, I can abase everyone that is proud. You think you're so great and so powerful, so mighty? Why don't you go and abase everyone that is proud? Because I can. That's what God's saying. I can abase him. Look on, verse 12, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low. And tread down the wicked in their place. I mean, this is God, this is how he's trying to express the magnitude of his power to Job. He's like, I have the ability to bring down the proud, the haughty, and abase them. Hide them in the dust altogether and bind their faces in secret. Then I will also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Look, no one is above God. No one can go through this life proud and arrogant and not have it come back on their heads. There's no getting away with it. So, again, go to 1 Peter. We're done. 1 Peter 5. So the question is, what do you want to be tonight? You want to be somebody who is lowly in spirit, who is meek and humble, and can condescend to men of low estate? Or do you want to be somebody that has to be humbled? Do you want to be somebody who gets lifted up with pride and then God has to bring low? Why don't we just beat God to the punch on this one, right? Why don't we just admit that we're nothing and think soberly about ourselves, according to the measure of faith that God has given every man, not to think more highly than ourselves, not to mind high things, not to be conceited and wise in our own conceits. Let's just beat God to the punch so that he doesn't have to humble us. Because I'm telling you, God will humble the proud, and God can humble the proud. You know, it's real interesting how pride and humility are, in the Word of God, described as like a covering, right? Again, I'll just remind you in Job's 41, when it was talking about Leviathan, it said that his scales are his pride. Right? That's the outward showing. You can just look at him and go like, wow, this guy is formidable, right? And he's proud of it. He's proud of his exterior, what he projects, the power that he projects. But, you know, we are to be clothed with humility. That's what it says in 1 Peter 5. In verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. You know, obviously, there's a pecking order. There's an authority structure within a local church. But at the end of the day, we should all be humble enough to be subject one to another. You know, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, consider this, think about that, you know, I don't just go, well, you know, you better go through the proper channels, you know. Like, who do you are? Just walk right up to me and think, you know, so, you know what I mean? Like, that's pride, okay? And a lot of times people will bring things to my attention. It's like, well, you know, I have to consider that, you know. And sometimes I'm even wrong about things, right? I know it's rare, but it does happen, okay? My wife has a list as long as her arm, she can tell you. I'm just kidding. You know, but we should be, that's humility, be able to be subject one to another. You know, and that's what makes a great ministry. But you know what? You have to be clothed with humility in order to do that. I mean, humility should be just something that we're just draped in. It should just be our covering. We don't want to be like Leviathan and have these scales of pride and think we're hardened and above it all and nothing can touch us. You know, we need to be clothed with humility. For God, why? What's the reasoning? Why does he say, do this? Why does he say, be subject one to another? Condescend to men of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't think that you're better than somebody else because you're not. Why does he say, be clothed with humility? Why? Because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know why you should clothe yourself in humility and root out pride in your life? Because then God won't have to resist you. Because God does resist the proud. And God does give grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Right? And notice, I love verse 6, it's humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And I know I already preached this, and this is kind of a little part of another sermon. But again, it's that imagery of like, humble yourselves on the mighty hand of God, because God's just up in heaven ready to smack down the proud. You know, what we need to do is look up and say and just recognize that hand is there. And if I get lifted up with pride, you know, it's going to come down on me. So again, let's just beat God to the punch. God doesn't have to drop the hammer on us. You know, we can just humble ourselves under that mighty hand before some crushing blow of humiliation, you know, brings us low. We can just say, you know what, God, no need. You know, go smack someone else that needs it. Message received, right? I'm going to humble myself. And you know what? Then God lifts us up. And again, that's why before honor is humility, right? God will lift up the humble, right? I mean, think about Moses. Great man of God, right? I mean, delivered the people of Israel. God wrought such amazing miracles. You know, probably the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Probably ever. I mean, there's not been a prophet like Moses. But you know what the Bible also says about him? That he was the meekest man in all the earth. You know, God does not use the proud. God does not use the arrogant. God does not use those that are lifted up with pride and arrogancy, that think more highly of themselves than they ought to. God does not lift up and use people that are wise in their own conceit, that people that are not clothed with humility, because then God doesn't get the glory for it. You know, when God uses humble people, because those people know, like, hey, this isn't me that's lifting me up. That's God's hand that's lifting me up. You know, that's God that's using me. That's God that's given me this ability. That's God that's helped me develop this skill. That's God that's given me this wisdom. It's God that's given me this understanding. It's God that's done all these good things for me. It's God's hand that's underneath me, lifting me up. Give glory to him. So the question is tonight, you know, does God look, when he looks at us, what does he see? You know, and we might be able to fool other people, but what does God see when he looks at us? Does he see the scales of pride in our lives? Or does he see us clothed with humility? Hopefully it's the latter. You know, and maybe if we find ourselves kind of, you know, a scales popping up here or popping up there, you know, maybe we need to go and tear that thing out. You know, what does God see? Does he see pride or does he see humility when he looks at us? Well, it ought to be humility. Because, you know, if it's not, God has a way of stripping us bare and putting the right garment on us. If he sees the scales of pride, he'll deal with it. They can be airtight, you know, they can be like Leviathan scales. God will crush it under his hand. And he'll say, okay, now we can get you dressed up and dolled up the way you ought to be and get some humility on you. All I'm saying tonight is like, let's just go ahead and don that garment. Let's just go to the spiritual closet. You know, let's just open up the doors of God's word and let's pick out humility. Let's just read it and pray and put it on and live our lives as humble people with godly sincerity, with real, genuine humility, and not lift up ourselves above our brethren. Because then God doesn't have to do it. Be humble or be humbled. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for, Lord, how great you are. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that everything that we do should be done to the glory of God. That, Lord, that no flesh is to glory in your presence. That anything that we achieve in this life is simply because you've given us the ability to do it. Whatever strengths, whatever talents, whatever abilities we have, Lord, it's because of you. And, Lord, I pray you'd help us to use these abilities, these gifts, these talents that we have to honor you in all that we say, think, and do in our lives. And Lord, help us to not be lifted up with pride. Help us not look down on other people, whether it's within our church or outside the walls of this church, that Lord, we should help us to condescend to men of low estate and to consider the meek of the earth, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would just, again, help us to root out pride in our lives. We ask these things in Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we go.
All right, if you could please open up your song books to song number 64.